Ebbie's family was a very prominent family in Albany, New York. In fact, his dad was the mayor. And Ebbie's drinking and running around town was embarrassing the father, and the father was running for re-election. So he told Ebbie, he said, Ebbie, I want you to go over to East Dorset, Vermont, to the old summer place, and basically get out of town is what he's trying to get him to do. And get over there, and while you're over there, you might sober up. And if you can't sober up, at least paint and fix up the old home place, because we'll be over there. Make yourself useful, in other words. So he went over there, and he got to drinking a little bit and painting and fixing up the little home place. And one day he was standing back and admiring what he'd painted on the wall there, painted the wall, and he was admiring it. Then he noticed some pigeons doing some things on the side of his wall that he didn't like. So he went in the house and got his shotgun and began to shoot the pigeons. Well, blowing holes in the side of the wall. Well, the neighbors don't like this, you know. So they called the police, and they were going to take him and take him and put him into alcoholic insanity, into the criminally insane ward for alcoholism. It's what they did with drunks in those days. So they took him before the judge, and there were two fellows there who interceded on Ebbie's behalf. One of them was Roland Hazard, and the other one was Seabra Graves. And they were members of the Oxford Group. And they asked the judge if they would release Ebbie into their care. They felt that if we could get him to some Oxford Group meetings, and if he would accept and apply the program, then he'd probably stay sober. Well, the judge didn't want to take him to the criminally insane ward any more than they do now. So they released Ebbie to their care. And sure enough, Ebbie started going to these Oxford Group meetings, and he got sober. And after about 3 months, he decided to move and go back to New York and lived with the Calvary Mission, which was the headquarters of the Oxford Group of that time. And while he was there, he remembered his friend Bill. He said, I think I'll go over and talk to Bill and see if I can persuade Bill to join the Oxford Groups and to get sober like I'm sober. He said, of course he would have dinner, and then I would drink with him openly. Unmindful of his welfare, I thought only of recapturing the spirit of the other days. There was that time we chartered an airplane to complete a jag. His coming was an oasis in this dreary desert of futility. The very thing, an oasis. Drinkers are like that.
He said the door opened and he stood there fresh-skinned and glowing. There was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? I pushed a drink across the table and he refused it. Disappointed but curious, I wondered what got into the fellow. He wasn't himself. Come, what's all this about? I queried. He looked straight at me, simply but smilingly he said, I've got religion. Damn, I'm glad that didn't happen in my kitchen. I have no idea what I would have done. But here's what Bill did. He said, I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspect a little cracked about religion. He had that starry-eyed look. Yeah, the old boy was on fire, all right. But bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. But he didn't know ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told how two men had appeared in court persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. They had told of a simple religious idea,
which is step two,
and a practical program of action,
which is 3 through 12.
That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. Now, for the first time, Bill knows all three things. He got the problem from Silkworth, and now Ebbie brings him what here is referred to as a simple religious idea, the solution to alcoholism. And he also brings him the program of action necessary to find that solution. But now remember, Abby's coming out of the Oxford Groups, the group of people practicing first century Christianity. Many of the terms they used were highly religious in nature. And Bill didn't like it, just like so many of us didn't like it. He didn't like this religious idea. He didn't like the way Ebbie was talking and the terms that he was using. So even though Bill can see that that is the solution, he still has a lot of problem being able to accept it in his life, just like so many of you drunks did. Let's see on the next couple of pages how he was able to accept this simple religious idea as the solution to alcoholism.
He said he'd come to pass his experience along to me if I cared to have it. He said, I was shocked but interested. Certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. Bill had already admitted that he was hopeless and powerless over alcohol and his condition. So now on page 10 and 11, Bill is somewhere between steps 1 and 2. He's already took 1. Now he's beginning to contemplate 2. He said, he talked for hours. Childhood memories rose before me. I could almost hear the sound of that preacher's voice as we sat on those still Sundays way over there on the hillside. There was that proper temperance pledge I never signed. My grandfather's good nature can temper some church folk in their doings. His insistence that the Spirit really had their music, but his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen. His fearlessness as he spoke of these things just before he died. These recollections welled up from the past. They made me swallow hard. That wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back. See, Bill's was raised by his grandfather Griffin, because Bill's mother and dad moved off to Canada, and his mother went off to be an osteopathic physician. So Bill's grandfather raised him, and Bill's grandfather had a kind of a battle with the church next door. The guy was always trying to save his soul and tell him how he must listen, but his grandfather wouldn't listen to that. He wanted to listen in his own way and instill that into Bill's mind at that time. He said, "I'd always believed in a power greater than myself. I'd often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are. For that means blind faith in a strange proposition that the universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. How could there be so much precise and immutable law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in the spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation, but that was as far as I'd gone. With medicine and world religion, I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me, who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated, and my mind snapped shut against such theories." In other words, Bill's saying there's got to be a harder way to do this. That's too simple.
He said to Christ, "I conceded the certainty of a great man, not too closely followed by those who claimed him, his moral teaching most excellent. For myself, I'd adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded." Anybody in here identify with Bill Wilson? Oh, I certainly do. Let's go down to the middle paragraph, in the middle of page 11. "But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he'd admitted complete defeat, that he had in effect been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. Had this power originated in him? Obviously it had not. There'd been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all." This is where the identification process is so important. Bill knew about Evie, and he knew how Evie drank, and he knew if Evie had been sober a couple of months, some power greater than Evie had to be working in Abby's life. Abby's sitting there as living proof of the power greater than human power. That's what you and I have to offer today. When we go out and talk to a new person, we're sitting there as living proof that some power greater than human power is working in our lives also. Abby was Bill's living proof. And even though he could see it in Abby, he still doesn't like this religious idea. Let's go over to page 12.
He said, "Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice." Prejudice means old ideas. "The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of the desire of the heavens, however loving its way might be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way." Abby was coming out of the Oxford Group movement. The Oxford Group movement was interested in first century Christianity. They were really interested in the letter of the law. Bill was listening for the spirit of the law, two different ways.
I'd like to have been there that day. I'd like to have watched these two guys. Now here comes Eddie out of the Oxford groups, and he is on fire with this religious idea that he's bringing to Bill. Bill's sitting there about two-thirds drunk, been drunk for about 3 weeks, and they're arguing about God. They're arguing about religion. You know how we drunks are when we get into those situations. Bill's saying, "Oh yeah, don't talk to me about a personal God. Oh yeah, I'll agree with universal mind or spirit of nature or something like that, blah, 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 blah." And I guess after a while, Abby got tired of it. Let's look at the next statement very carefully.